Transformers and Legos
type things.
I don't even know what's hot nowadays. I just found out Paw Patrol was lit. You know Paw Patrol?
Yes.
It's like a pro police subversive
dog,
campaign.
Think about it that way. Police is fine. Beat niggers.
White dog.
Send the link.
Welcome to Send the Link, where we analyze the latest feeds and reads. I'm Brandon Harrison with my co-host, the well-coiffed, well-dressed, here for the winter weather, the snug sweater, Deej Dollars.
Did DJ. You rhyme that on purpose?
I did a little bit. I had to get my Dr. Seuss on, you know, rep the Grinch and everything right now for the festivities.
Yes. Hold on, let me look over my shoulder really quickly.
Okay.
Brandon, can we say Merry Christmas again?
I mean, I think America is great again. So Christmas has been returned to its former glory. We brought Christmas back.
Yeah, no more of this pansy happy holidays.
What the fuck is that, happy holidays?
Fuck everyone else. Fuck Kwanzaa, Hanukkah.
An aside, fuck Kwanzaa. Come on, dog. Let's not pretend here.
Did you hear about the Kwanzaa crawl that was going on in the city?
I saw that. I saw the Kwanzaa crawl. Actually, I want to say my mother sent me this.
Oh, I thought you were about to say my mother went.
No,
I was like, oh,
no. She sent me like a text. It had like all this shit about like this Kwanzaa crawl and all the bars or whatever it was at. She's like, I was like, why did you send me this? And she goes, you want to go? No. No.
Hey, man. It was a good faith effort to try to be Afrocentric to whomever made
I guess
Kwanzaa.
DJ, what? Let's just take this back a few steps.
Okay.
What are your personal feelings about Kwanzaa?
I don't really have any. Is that a bad thing? It's like, okay, props to them. It's not something I grew up with. I'm actually becoming rather Scrooge-like, just like most of us, living in this late capitalist stage and becoming a true-to-form adult. So, in my Christmas roots, now I'm looking up like, damn, I gotta buy a bunch of people shit.
Yeah.
Shit is not cheap.
Yeah.
Especially when we live in the technology age and everybody pretty much has things that can do multiple things at one. So if you don't have that, then you can't do this. So maybe you gotta buy that. Or just not buy anyone anything at all.
I'm leaning that way.
So are you just like, have you turned into a gift card person?
No, because gift cards are not gifts. That's cruel and unthoughtful.
Damn, you make me feel bad.
No, because it's just like, all right, I know you're generally have something about you, and here's some money that you can only use at one thing. So I sort of thought of you. I don't know. I am also Scrooge-like, Grinch-like at this juncture in my time on this earth. Pretty much.
Was that juncture? You were saying juncture. You said gesture?
Yeah.
Gentrification?
I said gesture, which is wrong. I was trying to let me cook. Call me out.
You got to be clear on the pot.
At this juncture in my time on this planet, I would love to secede from Christmas. Just step back.
Right.
Have my own laws, my own state's rights, where we don't do that Christmas thing. But I get it. People want things. I just think I realize I don't want for much anymore. I only want a few things. So it's like, I guess.
Yeah, you feel good doing it. I'm not against that, but I'm against the clear obligation to do so.
Mm.
And now I feel like I'm just part of the rat race to get everybody something.
You're a cog in the capitalist machine?
Yeah, we all are. Like this drives the economy. Like at least you could take some type of solace in them. Like, oh, I'm buying these sneakers. I'm buying this phone.
Yeah, and that's supporting Trump's economy.
Yeah, MAGA economy.
So what do you got? What do you got untapped for the holidays? Anything special or any traditions? We know you don't fuck with Kwanzaa, apparently.
I'm just Kwanzaa agnostic. How about that?
I don't fuck with Kwanzaa.
Okay. Have you tried it out?
Yes, once upon a time.
Oh, really?
As a youth.
It wasn't lit?
I mean, it's lit. No. There's a black menorah.
Okay.
I just, you know, I can't pretend like my grandmother's not older than Kwanzaa. Like, Like that should just
you need some real tradition.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be like that. Maybe we can lean in the summer solstice, the winter solstice, because like this is some real like nature shit. You know, we used to all worship the sun back in the villages. Okay. We can do that. I don't know. But I don't like it. But what do you got on tap, man? Nothing.
But holidays?
Stuff. Yeah.
Buying stuff?
Just, you know, traditions, things, plans, anything cool.
The only thing at this point is the night of Christmas, we go to my grandmother's house.
Shout out.
And that's when everybody in the family gets together. It is very black, as in it starts very late.
Hmm.
But there's food, there's festivities.
9:48?
No, much later.
11:49?
Closer. Yeah, exactly. Like 11, my grandmother comes downstairs with a bunch of with trash bags filled with socks and long johns and sample colognes and whatever she could find at what fucking Marshall's or what's the joint up the block on Flatbush? Fat Albert's. I don't know if you've been there, but they just like those places that just have a bunch of miscellaneous shit.
Yeah.
But the things have accrued over the years, and I tried to get some utility out of them. Got a robe one year.
Okay. It was lit. Come up.
I already had a robe, but
I got two robes.
Two robes now.
That's lit. God. Sound like a fire Shaft character. Two robe jokes.
Two robes on.
And a fucking pistol and shit.
Yeah, it's snowing outside and shit. That's how you stay warm. You got two robes on. Bottom all dirty. You gotta relax. So. Yeah, so we do that. Everybody's just up and wired and drinking and partying, having fun. It's just that's probably like the only real tradition that stands. Oh, also that my grandmother, it's not, well, she does the same thing on Thanksgiving and Christmas, where it's like you have to say what you're thankful for or what you're hopeful for in the next year.
Mm. Is that what Christmas is hopeful for the next year?
Somewhat, because we're not always there. Everybody's not necessarily together on New Year. So it's always some type of individual. Each person speaks, but they're like literally like, you know, 35 people in the house, including all the little kids. So the shit takes like an hour and 20 minutes just to complete. But
it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah. It's family, it's love. So if that's what you look for, that's what I got. So no Kwanzaa, but... Yeah, the night of Christmas, the fam gets together. How about you?
No, I'm a dark
Sith Lord.
I don't treasure anyone but myself. Yeah, not really. But, you know, it's always good to start new traditions and to enjoy the holiday season, the Christmas season, as, you know, our conservative brother and sister would like us to say. So I remember to play both sides here. And remember to be happy on Christmas. You know why?
Why?
Because our corporate overlords are making it easier for us to buy all 35 of your family members gifts.
Is that what they should be doing, providing the service?
I mean, that's all it is, right?
Rugged efficiency.
Rugged efficiency. So shout out to friend of the pot, Emily Dreyfus from Wired. Amazon's holiday toy catalog is advertising parents actually want.
Mm.
Now, DJ... You go back into the time machine, or you know, your pensive that you look at your memories in,
okay.
Very cloudy and it's very wavy.
Yes.
But in your youth, do you remember getting, and to this day, I guess they still send them out, the various catalogs and whatnot that come in the mail?
Of course, you're saying for holiday season specifically? Yeah, definitely. The Toys R Us one. Was it really any other one? Sears, maybe? You know, they would send them out, and specifically the Toys R Us one, obviously that was just something to look forward to, some that you could use to kind of map out what you wanted, whatever the new Nerf gun was, or the laser tag set.
Fire gift.
The new Hot Wheels set, correct ramp, the new race car, you know, the
You have successfully track. Built a Hot Wheels track?
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah, I was super into engineering when I was younger.
Okay.
I did... Lego competitions, and I didn't do high wheels competitions, but I built the whole entire tracks depending on gravity and all that type of shit. I was really into that. He just gave me like this, like this nod, like kind of smugly, but yeah, that was actually really my thing, especially Legos. So yeah, I would use those catalogs to really brightly, you know, circle with a Sharpie or a big X or something like that, highlighting the price. I actually, when I started to get a little older, I would tabulate it, write it all like out nicely and everything. Like, this is exactly how much it costs.
Get a little invoice and shit.
Right. It's a nice invoice. My name signed at the bottom, you know.
It's like, please do by December 25th.
Right. Right. 12 a.m. 12:25. So that was always a thing for me for quite some time. So yeah, I still remember that like it was yesterday, but Amazon is bringing it back.
I say the whole thing is, it's funny about this article is that in our new twisted techno future, the way that you look at that before, and I remember as a kid, is that you're looking at these things, wherever it's from, Toys R Us, these various toy stores, big box stores, and you're usually in some sort of living room type of space and mm-hmm. or your own room, and there's television. You go, oh, there is that thing right there. That's how much it costs. Mm. I see someone playing with it. That's fire. I want to own it. Right. But now, because television is becoming increasingly divided in terms of how we're watching it, all these various streaming services and stuff like that, even for the big box retailers outside of Amazon, it's like, where are people going to see these ads, specifically children?
Especially with no Toys R Us.
Yes.
Because the shit went bankrupt.
Exactly. So because of Toys R Us's untimely demise last year, going bankrupt.
Shout out to private equity.
Was that like some hedge fund that like chopped them up or some shit?
Yeah, okay. It did. Okay. Literally. Literally.
There is a huge hole in the holiday toy market. And Amazon has decided to slide up in that and try to, you know, accrue some of that money with a tactic of using the catalogs, even though they're a digital-only company with a few stores here and there.
They had a spare tentacle to use.
I'm sure. Is that what Amazon is actually? It's like a tentacle monster and shit.
Like everywhere.
Oh, well, different like, businesses.
It's like that Pokemon. What was the Pokemon where it was just like tentacles and eyes? What was the name of that?
Tentacles.
Tentacle or something, wasn't it?
Tentacruel. Got it.
There we go.
But yeah, Amazon's a huge tentacle creature, absorbing things, you know, profit or market share, just taking whatever it can. And because of this whole, they're using a tried and true tactic, which apparently has been shown to be successful in this holiday season. The weird thing is that because of unboxing and all this, like, meta child psychology marketing,
right,
they've created a sort of catalog that's a book experience that like children can read, pick up, show their parents this is what they want, cut out the things and make a little list booklet for the for the moms and the dads, and the parents are enjoying it because they know that the kids can't go on their own Amazon account and click through everything and right. mess up their shit, but cleanly sort of give them an experience that they had as a child that's sort of separated from that experience. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in this sort of siloed nostalgia experience, we talked about shows that no one has, they can now experience what it's like to look through the catalog, even though it's not totally the same sort of deal.
Right. Because, I mean, looking through the physical experience of doing things is still, that will never really fully escape us, no matter, until I guess we just upload our beings into San Junipero
packets and shit.
Right. So so despite that, for the time being, there's still some enjoyment and the tactile nature of doing something like that. It brings up out a bit more or a different type of joy than, I don't know, your 30-second commercial in between your YouTube or Hulu video. That it seems like the kids watch nowadays. Question though, I'm not sure if they talked about it in the piece, but how are they populating these Amazon Christmas or holiday catalogs? Like, is it based on, is it curated based on household, or is it using some of the
like
same
local
tactics?
Sort of situations or different areas, whatever. Yeah. From what I've seen in this article, I don't get it too much, but it definitely is curated in the way that it's specifically for toys that match deals on the site. It's not just a sort of free-for-all sort of thing, but toys that actually match particular deals. But it's also divided by age group, things like that. Not
the way that you would navigate the site. Because one of the issues with the site is that children and parents have a hard time navigating what that is. So it's mm-hmm. like, oh, children's toys, this age group, this sort of style of toy. It's all right there. And I mean, I guess that's what the catalog does anyway. Yeah. But it's just interesting to me that parents are actually, I guess, fucking with this, like, as opposed to it just being more unboxing videos and weird. I guess this is a positive twist on our dystopia.
It's a good salve, I would say, because there's just such a large generational difference between those of us that are still here from, what is it, Gen X and millennials and Gen Z. So the people not too much older than us, like, they just don't really know the internet as well.
It's a weird space for us to be in, because I like to call us the last.
The last. The last of us.
Yeah. That's a video game. Pretty much. But no, the kids can take photos of the catalog. And then the app, the Amazon app, will pull it up. Or it, like, it has a QR code that you scan it right there and it goes boop boop and you put it in your cart and just.
Oh, that's some next level shit. I thought it was just nice, like, homely idea where the kid takes his Fiskars scissors and
the cuts holiday out the images. Of play. 68-page long. It's a lookbook.
Lookbook.
Yeah, very fashionable.
Yeah, everything is just so dispossessed, right? Just like so not as tangible shallow, as it used to be. Bullshit.
I don't know, man. It's a weird time, but I kind of want one. I want to see. I want to at least participate with it. Just like, oh, I can buy things from this physical paper. Boop.
Right, but have QR codes really caught on? Like, is that shit really that fire?
I feel like, number one, you would know about this more than me, but
I would say no personally.
But from what I've seen, it's a one-to-one transactional space that they've existed in. Tickets, this weird Amazon shit. It's not like, I don't think, what was the original goal for QR codes? That it would be fun and shit? Like, you see a QR code out in the wild and you take a picture of it and get a discount.
Yeah, that was a big Snapchat quirk. I don't think it ever really, it definitely wasn't iconic. It wasn't something that people really felt a strong attachment to, because as you can see, everyone has practically abandoned Snap and gone to Instagram after they pretty much just aped all of their features. But Snapchat had, you know, basically everyone's account was a QR code, and if you were trying to link up with someone.
Is that how it works? I don't know.
Yeah, if okay. you were, if we were sitting next to each other, I'm like, oh, well, what's your account? You can pull up your QR code, and I could pull up Snapchat on my phone and scan it. But, you know, that's just like a bit of a cumbersome, like, weird dimensional process as well. It's like, because we live in 3D or 4D or whatever, and this shit is 2D. Yeah, so I don't know. I never really. 4D? I don't know, do we? What was 4D?
4D is some shit we can't understand because of the passage of time.
Oh,
it's existing outside of time, supposedly.
Damn, I thought 4D was time.
4D is time, but we cannot observe it physically.
Oh, but we live within that plane.
Yeah.
So we 3D?
Yeah.
Damn, what's 5D like?
Boy.
Galaxy brain. Well, I hope this is all for good. Lastly, are they at least putting like fire toys on there, or are they all like Amazon branded shit? Like,
no way. Amazon knows better than to put those Chinese scam toys on there that they probably are pushing all the rest of the year. But they got all the I guess the main ones that are the
Transformers and Legos
type things.
I don't even know what's hot nowadays.
I just found out
Paw Patrol was lit. You know Paw Patrol?
Yes.
It's like a pro police subversive
dog,
campaign.
Think about it that way. Police is fine. Beat niggers.
White dog.
Oh man, you're looking behind the lines there. Pulling up the curtain. LOL surprise dolls. That's a thing, supposedly. Lego Star Wars Solo. The Osmos Genius Kit for the iPad. I don't know what any of that is. But apparently those are the ones they felt the need to single out on this article. So, all right.
Shout out to them.
I guess you can't decide what your ancestry is via QR code.
Oh, man.
The Amazon app.
Well, beyond that. Because that's actually what that said.
That's what I was gonna cop this Christmas.
Yeah, actually, with that said, what you know, what you don't need to be buying?
What?
Your loved ones, or maybe if you don't like the person, if you want them to, like, I don't know, be lost to the ether.
A white elephant shit, like.
Like, we get stolen from? That, I actually played that game at work. The white elephant game?
How'd it go? Pink elephant? I didn't understand.
Pink elephant?
I heard white, but maybe it's, I didn't understand what it was. Someone had explained to me the other day.
Apparently the rules are very different depending on what setting you're in, so it may just be worth something just discussing off pod, but basically...
I thought it was just like a gag gifts.
You... No, that's not... That's what I'm saying. Like, that's just one... This shit is about to just become mad confusing shit, because that's not how we played it. Essentially, it could be... You pick a random gift out of a set of gifts from a whole group of people, and you go through numerical order. And after your gift has been opened, whoever is behind you can steal your gift, and then you can steal someone else's or open up another gift.
I heard of that.
Yeah.
We're on the same page here.
Okay. Well, in that case, pink elephant, white elephant, ancestry, whatever. You don't need to be getting people, these DNA test services like Ancestry, 23andMe.
I was tempted.
Well, I don't know, man. Well, Ed Cara.
C-A-R-A.
Cara. From Gizmodo has a headline saying... don't take the DNA test you'll probably get for Christmas for a number of reasons that are summarized here and actually in a number of different publications of all different types that pretty much established that it's just too new of a terrain of a product for people to voluntarily give up their personal data, as in their personal biological information,
yes,
to these services that are not closely regulated, nor are they really upfront with what they're doing with some of this stuff.
Very accurate.
So have you, I'm going to go back to a motif before I still, have you seen Sorry to Bother You yet, the whole thing?
I have not.
Okay.
I don't know it exists.
Right. Don't worry about it. But nonetheless, if I can go back to the point, the line that I had bookmarked.
That's fine.
Unless you have any questions while I'm looking.
Quick. Well, no, I mean, I have an anecdote, but I don't want to drop my anecdote quite yet because, you know, you're breaking it down a little bit. But no, go ahead.
I mean, it's obviously a good gesture and everybody wants to, you know the genealogy because it gets murky for a lot of people, especially black people, clearly.
Yeah, right.
A couple of generations back. And it kind of brings the family together, can help you make out a family tree. You have something to talk about at the water cooler.
Yes.
You can bullshit people how you are, 3% Scottish or whatever. Or,
it's
5% Irish. You know, it's just like a nice little dandy, something to talk about. But essentially, for one, the databases that they use are inconsistent and some just have a bunch of just garbage data in them that can skew the results.
Mm-hmm.
Which one was this? Shit.
I mean, then that's a technical concern as opposed to are you not getting what you paid for versus, oh, you're getting your biological information stolen. Like,
right, but I mean, it's all within the same bucket. So, for example, to quote a company named Origin, the E is spelled with a 3.
Fire.
Right?
Wild.
It was a gamer.
Wild fucking evil movie corporation. Origin.
Right. Early this year, Origin, which claims to offer fitness and lifestyle advice based on your genes, failed to note that a sample of DNA submitted actually came from a Labrador Retriever.
So they're matching off of this dog DNA?
They're going way back.
How many chromosomes does a dog have? Like 16 or some shit?
They're going way back. That's what I'm saying. So the results could be skewed, and it is also dependent on the actual data population that they have. So if you have a bunch of white people using the service, and if you're a black person of nearby African descent, then your results have a pretty good statistical chance of being skewed just because they don't have enough of that African diaspora base to be used with this. So the results could, there's a strong chance that your results could be misleading. That's a big thing. So there's that. There's also, I said once again that they still are not really held to strong regulatory standards. So there have been cases in which these DNA companies have sold off your biological data.
They sure have.
They have. Actually, there's been this interesting thing that happened. The Golden State Killer was found using DNA samples of people's ancestry, of people in the area. Oh,
shit. He's back?
No, I think he was dead, okay. But they found out it was the guy. It was this guy based on just DNA samples.
I think it was a Warriors
DNA
fan.
Samples and... yeah, he was a big Warriors fan. You know,
out here in Cleveland just slamming people. Right. Continue.
So, you know... So yeah, they used like a DNA database that they compiled for one, but also just licensed out from these DNA companies, and used cross matched that with a database of obituaries within the area, and basically were able to pinpoint it to this guy. So you have that kind of helpful but creepy aspect to it, that you're just giving your biological data that can be used by. The government or law enforcement, whatever authorities, mm-hmm. Kind of just voluntarily giving up your privacy. And lastly, in somewhat in that same vein, some of the more medicinally based DNA companies, or I think even like 23andMe or whatever, they can tell you if you have like a higher chance of, I don't know, developing heart disease or something like that, or what's some other common shit? Diabetes or whatever. Just an example. That may not necessarily be true. But basically, there have been stories and cases in which also they have sold off their database, as in your biological data, to...
make drugs and all that.
Yeah,
sort of
pharmaceutical firms like GlaxoSmithKline to make drugs from. And you're not getting a penny of that, although you gave them your biological information. You gave them your data. So they're getting rich off of the shit that you gave them. Which kind of all goes back into this very, 2018, very meta.
I have like two and a half comments.
Ideal that exists that, you're the product, right? Like they at least they give you a little something back when it comes to Ancestry.com and all these DNA sites. But realistically, they're turning their eyes in the other direction. They're like, banking. Oh, we're just going to sell your shit to whoever the highest bidder. They're going to do whatever they want with it. They're going to make, an army of super soldiers that have all the best genes combined or some shit that are immune to all the diseases and, in some dystopic
timeline. There's a show about that that just came out.
And it's based on, Ancestry results.
It's not some shit where, they go, oh, my God, I forget. It was on Fox or FX or one of these shits. People come back from the future, and they come back to the past to stop, I guess, these motherfuckers from... It's like someone from the future.
So it's Bishop from X-Men. Shout out to Bishop.
It's like Bishop, but Bishop. They're like super soldier type people. Yeah. And they've come back. The regular people have come back in the past to escape the super soldier motherfuckers they made. Because they're just like, you're not pure enough. And they're just killing all the normies off.
Oh, damn. It's cold.
But in terms of this whole thing, now I'm going to put on my contrarian hat. The concerns, definitely valid.
But
I'm not quite all the way over the contrarian side. Someone who's done it,
they gasp, Brandon.
They can get I don't know all the genes they need from me. But no, they make you opt in to particular things. They'll be trying to do stuff. They're like, oh, would you like to opt into this? Would you like to opt into this? And you just be like, no. And they could just lie and take it, which they probably do. But the illusion is that is what's happening. From what I've seen, they are trying, in terms of the actual marketing of their service, they're actually hoping to market it towards more Black people. If you've seen any commercials, it's like, hey, and it's like 20% this, 20% this, 100% family, like shit. Because and it will make it more accurate if more Black people do it and stuff like that. It's funny in that way, but that's just all the silliness and absurdity of it being fun. The medical thing is where it really gets into the ethical nature of it. And what I'm sort of confused about is, number one, the legal thing, what's going to happen there, and the actual accuracy of the medical thing. I saw a news article, like a news program, local New York news, about a woman who did it and found out that she had some shit and she had a double mastectomy.
Oh, shit.
And then she was like, oh, she has high breast cancer risk. She went to the doctor. The doctor said potentially you could have breast cancer. And then she got a double mastectomy, young, like 26 or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I was like, 23andMe is like, yes, we could use this. But also on the flip side, they interviewed the doctor and they were like, I don't know, like, if it's good for people to come here off of that shit. Like, this is like a lot. And she did it, but you know, it is what it is. So there's that sort of side of it. But also, legally, between this shit and Fortnite, it's like, what do you really own? Can you own a dance? Can you own of course you own the biological makeup to that, but I'm sure there's some genius lawyer that's in like, all right, you actually are the owner of your own biological information. However, you are leasing some kind of like ability for us to make some shit with it. Because this is nobody's fucking, until some genius scientist becomes some person in a lab, like, I'm building my own lab in my backyard using my information. Or setting the precedent of some other dystopian future where people do that, where there's some fucking app and you stick yourself in an arm and shit. And you know, I don't know. It's weird and dark, but you've swayed me. Just stay away.
At least until we get a better handle on this shit. Between this and, you brought up Fortnite, I'm thinking more worst cases like Facebook and shit like that.
Oh yes, yeah.
Where the data is
your habits.
Yeah, the data leads all, and I lost my train of thought. But essentially, there are opt-outs. There's a lot of legalese. There's a lot of terms and conditions that we all skim over. Have you ever seen, I mean, South Park is always ahead of the curve. These are like Harvard grads, but have you seen that episode of South Park where basically everybody is enslaved by, I think, Apple or whatever, because nobody read the terms and agreements? They basically just like sign their life away.
Scroll down
and shit. Yeah, and they just click the shit just like we all do. And there's starting to be a lot of pushback against that, to where, just to be honest, lay people are just not going to read all that shit. And it's negligent to think that most would, yet you are still responsible for their data and for their trust. So if there ever be a bit more creative ways to make the most problematic parts of personal information and privacy and data disclosure part of the process, then that just is what it is. And I mean, to their credit, a number of these DNA companies do have basically these checkboxes and whatnot, but many don't. I don't know if there should be some type of just default. If the default is just, you just don't provide your data to the larger database or to be given to medical companies or whatever. But
I mean, that's a big legal question generally with anything that has to do with information, opt out versus opt in.
Right.
So like, if that would be the move, if we move towards an opt in service as opposed to an opt out, and maybe that protects people and it's more conservative and smarter to use.
But you see, they know that though.
And they like, know that.
I'm right, exactly. Because they know, same way, people are just not going to, vast majority, you know what, that we don't know for sure. We haven't done studies, but
let's talk down about the fucking plebs. Let's do it. Do it.
I know, but you know, reckless speculation. But people are just not going to click that shit. So they're going to wind up back in the same place where they're like, damn, we could be just selling this data, but. Or sharing the data, as Facebook admitted to this week. But instead, they're just not giving it out because they didn't check the box.
Does Mark Zuckerberg just need to cash out and just be like, yo, I'm out, this bitch. I just moved and just become.
I don't know. I mean, this is
moving to this whole Bill Gates era.
This is what his life.
35.
This is what his life has just revolved around. So, I mean, clearly it's part of his ego and vanity to hold on to the CEO title, chairman, founder, and owning 60% of the company. So he's not going to go anywhere. He's basically just like the overlord of Facebook. To keep maybe you and the listeners up to speed, I mean, Facebook has had about as many bad stories as like Trump over the past like couple weeks. So this week, I guess there's just been some like document disclosure that Facebook has been sharing user data with pretty much all the other major services.
Like, Facebook was good. Like, let us know what they like out there.
Right. You know, access to your DMs or your, you know, Google, Facebook chat messages, your search history, all that type of stuff, which it just seems pretty bad, right? Like, or like you wouldn't feel as if we had been giving Facebook the ability to do that. But they just swore up and down that they weren't selling that data. They were just sharing it.
Oh, yes.
Right. But you share it as a means to drive interaction and usage from both of the services. So
what is that lawyer meeting like when you're sitting down before that? Because it's like, hey, Netflix, you know, we've been, this is our whole actual business model, but hey, just, you know, look at it.
He's over like with a Facebook lawyer or the
Netflix? I'm just saying, you know, there's a discussion about that. What does that mean? Because if they're not buying it from you, and it's like, oh, just make sure you put Facebook in the show.
Well, you're, this is what legalese is, man. Like, that's what all this shit is. It's like finding the kind of just blankest but thinly veiled argument to substantiate and justify what you're doing so they can have plausible deniability if anything were to go wrong in the worst case scenario. Ideally, what they would want to do is just slink on by with, you know, doing this kind of doublespeak, saying, you know, we're not selling the data, but we're sharing it, because, you know, like those are two distinctly different words. But, you know, like functionally they wound up reaching some of the same ends. But, you know, if they get challenged in court or something like that based on, you know, like based on a larger scheme, then they have, you know, some of the best lawyers in the country, right? So you just really have to invent or put together the best legal argument you can to defend yourself against legal exposure. But really, that's not even their biggest issue at this point. It's really just public confidence. You have public figures that are literally like filming themselves, deleting their Facebook profiles and stuff like that.
I mean, out here, if you're out here just flaunting, just like, okay, fuck the law. We're not going to do that. We're going to use legalese to our advantage, even though
public perception.
We're basically shepherding everyone's internet identity.
Yeah.
And fuck y'all.
Yeah, yeah. Because they scaled up and grew so quickly. And as you just mentioned, did a very smart decision in making Facebook basically like your central internet identity. And then you would just use that to log into a bunch of other apps and services online. And those services would interact with one another and then pass the data back and forth, which just left a lot of room for, if it wasn't handled correctly, just left a lot of room for data exposures and nefarious figures and entities taking advantage of that.
Well said.
I sound like a reporter or some shit.
I mean, yeah, you could be up there with Don Lemon and shit and ask you about
that. I don't fuck with CNN and that shit at all. I would be like, I don't know. Like,
I'm not here to be a talking head.
Yeah, fuck y'all. I got to be on somewhere that you curse and like call shit out.
He's just going to fucking Bill Maher every week and shit.
Bill, this is some bullshit.
Our favorite guy is here, Derek Williams. This is some bullshit.
I haven't watched this shit in months, but yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, dark times, dark dystopian times, but we can be happy, right?
We can be happy. We can be happy in a lot of ways.
Enjoy our holiday, because there are other big companies that are shepherding our data and taking care of it a lot better.
Or at least in different ways, trying to get you elated and get a release out of you. Shout out to Brandon for his steadfast handling of the transitions.
Hey,
the
man, try to look out.
Because now we're talking about everybody's favorite taboo subject, but the realest subject.
It's fucking human hunting.
Oh, the most dangerous game.
Oh, yes.
Shout out to that. I think they made a
one of our best tropes on the pod. Most dangerous game.
Shit is fire. Nah, man. Porn time. Porn and data.
Porn and data.
Yes.
One of the biggest treasure troves out there on the internet.
Yes. Legit. Quartz. Publication. A piece by Aisha Hassan.
A freak.
No, just the journalist.
Oh, no. Great reporter. Doing good work. Huh? Yes, yes. You know.
Sterling work.
Of course.
You know, sometimes they have a little tag name before the actual name of the article.
Yeah, like what, like the tagline or whatever?
It's not necessarily, well, it's kind of like a tagline, but like just like two words. Yeah. So this one is intimate intel. Porn sites collect more user data than Netflix or Hulu. This is what they do with it. Gasp.
They send it.
So, in short, what they do with it is basically
stronger,
design
faster.
Right. Is to design their
more efficient
their,
porn.
Is to design their sites and products to get you to consume more porn more efficiently.
More efficiently.
Right. I learned quite a bit reading this piece. I actually thought it was very informative. For one, that this company MindGeek, you heard of MindGeek?
No, but are they the backbone of the internet, apparently?
They are the backbone, not necessarily of the internet, but of pretty much all porn now. So MindGeek owns the Pornhub network. So there's a lot of sub-sites associated with it, but Pornhub gets a ton of traffic every day.
Kanye hosted their awards. They're a big deal.
Did he really?
Yeah, he hosted the Pornhub Awards, APNs or some shit.
You when was that? This?
2 months ago. He like curated the whole shit.
Oh my gosh.
He curated the whole fucking awards.
I mean, I guess I have to catch myself. I guess there's nothing like necessarily wrong with that, but like, what is going on with this nigga? Sheesh. Okay.
Mental health, man.
It was the AVNs or the Pornhub Awards?
I think the first annual Pornhub Awards, I want to
okay.
say.
Okay. The AVNs have existed for a while.
A little more classic.
Than yeah. They're classier than that. You know.
Have Kanye West, please.
Yeah, they had like Stormy Daniels. Shit. But Pornhub gets 125 million daily visits from yes. unique consumers.
Unique. That's 125 million people, or at least computers.
At least computers. I don't know what computer is like watching more, but some bot out there is getting it off. So with that, and watching these streaming videos, there's just a lot of potential data points that you can collect, especially if you're not using incognito mode and you have an account. Now, those are very, some like a very...
some bold people.
Yeah. I still haven't come across that person. I guess people just don't talk about it. But do you know anybody with like a porn account? Is it
openly, just brazenly? Just
I don't know, but like, you
signing
know.
Signing in and shit?
Yeah, has an account on Pornhub or some shit. Like, that's just weird.
It's like, damn, I got my password. Yeah. Same one I use for my bank.
It's like, let me reset my shit. He's like, nigga, what? Why you got a Pornhub account? What customization do you need, sir?
Let me call him. Shit's not working. Hey, try to log in here. What do you have to do? You have to click the X by the cartoons fucking.
Don't click on the ad. The ad has been fucking it up. So, yeah, specifically for the actual signed in users, they're able to track just the most granular detail. And I can tell you how they like wind up using it, but down to obviously the queries that you're entering, the wording that you're entering, when you pause the video, what scenes you skip to, what settings you like, what colors you like, what type of interactions you like. And they save and use all of these data points to make products and films that narrow down on that even more. So when you see like these really wacky films and whatnot nowadays,
data sourced.
Yeah, I mean, at this point nowadays, yeah, it's they're using aggregated data to say, oh well, you know, 50 million people like, I don't know, the Hulk fucking what's her name, Scarlet Witch or whatever, I don't know, like some wild shit. There was a, hold on a second, I don't know. Fill in the space. Say something.
Well, in my head, I'm thinking about, we talked about
Facebook. What is in your head? What
we talked about Facebook sharing with Netflix and Hulu. And I'm like, who are Pornhub's sharing partners? And I'm thinking, like, fucking dating site, like farmersonly.com. It's like, let's get that data.
Well, fucking, I mean, fucking. Okay, so there's something to that, though. Police databases and shit. So there's something to that, but hold on to that one, though, because that is something that wasn't in the piece, but I thought about. So, and so a quote was, in 2017, the year of hashtag Me Too, the top search term on Pornhub was porn for women, followed by Rick and Morty. And third was fidget spinners. I don't know what the fuck that shit is about.
You gotta get more fidget spinners in the scene. Hold one on your fucking.
Yeah, hold one and like keep your focus or some shit. This shit is wild, son. So there's just a trove of data, but it looks like kind of just to follow up and
who is creating these porn ads with these cartoons?
I don't know. Those always been weird. Yeah, it's been a lot. Maybe it's just more weird because it's a cartoon.
This motherfucker's typing Rick and Morty. This is why.
Right, yeah, but you already know, like, Google AdSense and whatnot, they've caught up to that fairly recently, and then with cookies and all of that, so it all just kind of works upon itself. So you just start getting all these kind of weird targeted ads that maybe, you know what, the ones that are targeted at you, even just outside of the realm of porn, you don't notice them because they're just targeted. You're like, oh, okay, that's cool. So for me, like, I've... look at sneakers all day, so it's like, oh, okay, a little sneaker ad for Foot Locker or something like that. But when it's off, or like when they use that ad tech, but it was just like
if you get curious about something, you like start searching or something, yeah, it'll fuck up and like,
yeah,
it's like, y'all trying too hard.
So that's most likely like a part of like the errant porn ad that one may see. But no, it was just a really interesting piece. And what you had mentioned was like, who did they really share the data with? One thing that was made clear is that since porn itself is just still so taboo that it's just not viewed and it's not viewed skeptically, and people are not really investigating and looking into what people are doing with it.
Right.
Or even doing with this trove of data. It seems as if since it's such... a unique data set, let's say, that it really can only be used within that realm in the first, or at least at first thought, it can only be used within that realm.
That'd be more inventive.
Right. So, but even beyond that, I fucking lost my train of thought again. But people just have not, I feel like if there were more investigative reporting about like, what they call sex tech, or pretty much like, or specifically the data collection and aggregation of when people, you know, peruse all these porn sites, that we may see some type of shady, seedy, underbelly of it, that maybe they do, you know, sell or share the data with some other different services or something like that for some backhanded reason. But since it's so taboo and everything, and, you know, the norms are still... they'll forever be changing and augmenting around sex itself, but Congress is not looking into this shit because right. they don't even want to
bring it up.
They don't want to bring it up. They don't want to get their hands on so to speak, on such a subject to even kind of just make everything. I'm trying to avoid all these like innuendos or whatever, but basically just like get a little weird. Yeah, they don't want to talk.
It's funny because it's like in my head, I'm thinking like, man, Mind Geek is probably like the fucking. The U.S. Army and shit. They probably got all the wild new shit and the tech shit, all kinds of clever things. And
right.
Surging forward, right. Pushing the internet and particularly video beyond.
Absolutely. And that's a piece of this. Thanks for bringing that up. And you may have just intuited it. But especially...
I have a question for you. I don't want to interrupt your thought, but go ahead.
Okay, but especially porn at the advent of the internet or at the advent of really like mass consumer technology... has always been pretty much ahead of the curve when it came to the internet and video and new ways of interacting with things. Like porno was, or the porn streaming sites, video streaming sites were much bigger than YouTube and were out much before YouTube even got popular. Like, they were really the first people that were building this shit out, because there is a massive, you know, infrastructure that supports these streaming, like these porn sites.
People got accounts.
People got accounts. They have to store, like, people don't think about databases and all that stuff. They have to have databases that maintain all of these, basically, you know, hard drives or whatever technology they're using to store all these videos. They have to be able to pull up and buffer those videos very quickly. Like, it's all completely in the same vein as, you know, YouTube, like, as a prime example. And they've been on it, always pushing forward. So now they're pushing into, you know, like, virtual reality, even further ahead of what Facebook or whatever is trying to do, Oculus or video games and stuff like that. They're ahead on that. They have Internet of Things applications and physical tools, dildos and stuff like that, that, yeah, you know, can that just... They just use tech and just are just ahead of the curve.
Because just even a simple thing like this, what I was thinking, I know for a fact that when I logged into YouTube the other day, recently, I mean, the past 6 to 8 months, and now they had the video update plays before it plays, so you can see what the video is before you click it. I was like, porn must have had this in 1998. They must have had that shit early.
Oh, where like the shit moves a bit?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, no, they didn't have that. Yeah, like, I'm like, not,
YouTube
yeah.
didn't have that shit. Like, porn probably had that shit.
Nah, Pornhub had that shit for a hot minute. No flex. Like, they've been doing that. So you can, and what that was for, at least even to my mind, because I'm not about to say and act like I never watched this shit.
Now you know what it is. You don't have to fucking.
Yeah, you don't got to click on this shit, because you'd be like, oh, is this shit fire or not? And then it just goes through the images. So they've been very inventive at that and will continue to be so. And there's a lot of money in it. It's just not a quote unquote mainstream talked about industry or technology industry.
Damn, is Bernie Sanders going to say this one too? He said, bring it to the
forefront. Bring down big porn?
he's going to use big porn to, like, you know, what they're doing. This is a good business.
I don't even think they need it. If there were to be anything, there would and could and should be a, like, kind of populist.
This shit's like a Greek tragedy, you know, when you gotta go ask Hades for help and shit.
I'm saying there should be a kind of like populist revolt against, or at least what's the thing? Not trust busting, but you know what I'm talking about. No. It's like trust busters for monopolies, breaking it up.
A revolt against that?
Against MindGeek, because they control, like,
they're big porn.
Big porn.
Gonna knock them down and separate them into Exxon and Mobil Oil.
then they'll just, like, regroup and come back. But still. Right. Damn, what is the term I'm trying to think of? You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're saying.
It's anti what? What is the word?
Antitrust.
Antitrust, yes.
Yeah.
Right. So
it's a trust busting, that's enough.
I know, it was close. So yeah, it just was a good insight into the industry, especially just the tech aspect of it. But yeah, they're using that data to literally kind of just decide what colors people wear, what positions that they should use, so on and so forth. So I just found it to be very interesting. I actually shared it with a couple of my homies in the group chat, because I was like, oh, this shit was, it was pod worthy for one, but it was also like
definitely pod worthy.
Some people should read.
So stay up on that, people. Like, when you're next time, you know, you're in your house by yourself, just, you know, fondling yourself. Yeah. Remember,
it's frustrating yourself.
Remember that this is valuable data. You might want to say that to yourself.
Yeah, man. I don't know about you. Don't make
it. You want to find out about what the fuck I like? You have to pay me $2 a month. Like, a Facebook me, MindGeek.
Right. Shout out to MindGeek. They picked a very, like, innocuous name, but they own, like, the whole Pornhub network and RedTube and YouPorn. Whole nine.
Damn, look at this antitrust fucking shit going.
That's what I was talking about, son. Here. I wasn't kidding.
Chuck it at money.
Yeah.
Mom and pop porn. Coming back.
Yeah, shout out to 40 Deuce back in the day with all of the CD adult video stores. Could go in there and put a quarter in the machine, squeeze one out real quick, and go back to work.
This motherfucker. I'm now mad at Mind Geeky shit. I used to have my own business. helping desperate young people.
Open desperate middle-aged men and just working,
you know,
in the
get
city.
Loose. They thought they had to go to fucking Brazil and do all that shit. No, just come right down to Spanky's on 42nd Street.
Spanky's.
Oh, well. It's another good pod, DJ. Right. We've learned a lot.
Last note.
Oh, wait. Let us know.
Porn industry. Now, this is on the whole, not just the websites. Mm. Revenue estimates are as high as $97 billion. Netflix brings in about $11.7 billion.
So the porn industry,
so take that,
is akin to some shit like fucking papers. It's just like,
yeah, like tomatoes or some shit.
Universal shit.
Potatoes. Yeah, son. Real talk. Work on your resume. Work hard in college. Nigga, go sure, work for some porn sure, firms. Work for them, go to big porn.
Fucking mind geek. They'll look out for you. Come with some visionary tech shit.
Word.
It's like, get you some glasses and a tech turtleneck. Like, what does a CEO of Mind Geek dress like and shit? Let's emulate that. Fuck the black turtleneck.
I don't know. You know, they be looking mad. Well, the prototype is like, stereotypes just look mad slimy. I don't know.
Coked out.
Buttons all the way down to your belly button. You wear the like, lightly tinted sunglasses.
Or my man, like, he's like the Michael Jordan and shit. He's like, I was a big player in the game. Movie management.
Yeah. Yeah, what's his name? One of them niggas, they did that.
Oh, God.
I forgot his name.
Shout out to you, porn star person.
They in the game, man. It's one of the few industries that exist and that are prevalent. Everybody knows about it, but you just don't talk about it. Like, big oil has way more public exposure and knowledge about it than,
you know, big why? Porn. You know why? Because this is, hey, holy positive. Sorry, any human trafficking or shit. Generally, nobody's mad at it, I don't think. Mm-hmm. All right. Now I'm trying to wrap it up. But I'm tis. Great podcast, DJ. Good work, sir.
You try.
Please take care of your data, people. Whether it's for whacking off or buying gifts or finding out your ancestry. You know, it's careful out there in this holiday season about what people are doing with it, how you're sharing with others. Be safe.
Be safe. Always be skeptical. I know for myself, it feels like we're kind of just past that point where it's just like, it's just no hope to really maintain any type of digital privacy. But do the things Brandon said, be skeptical. But also, when the time comes, and it will come in the near future, especially with, all of Congress upset at Facebook, and the European Union already acting on a lot of these things regarding data privacy. When the time comes for federal or state legislation to be passed, support that shit and support the politicians or entities that are actually trying to
be an active protect people. Political member of society.
Yeah, just pay attention.
Pay attention.
Watch who you, I don't know, what, think about who's like monitoring you, searching like, you know, all these weird bestiality videos you're looking at.
Or own it. Just,
you know, own it. It's like, fuck it, it's me.
Hey, you know, this is me. I like sheep.
That's, well, I mean, you know, that's cool. There's no shame with no kink shame here, but you want them to make money off you? I don't know. That, right, that's the thing, though.
Right, you know, don't get fucked up in the game. Yeah. Like, make your bread.
Exactly.
So even though none of you had the ability or capacity to make money off your data, remember that still, for principle, protect it and own it.
Indeed.
It's been another great Send the Link. We'll be back soon enough, maybe in the new year. It's been another great year of making podcast magic with my co-host here. Keep listening, SoundCloud, Apple, you know, all the good places. And be on the lookout for more delicious podcast goodness. Enjoy your holidays.
Yes. Happy holidays. I'll be back next year with more fire. I don't know what else.
Catch
Happy on. New Year.
Happy New Year.
2019. It's almost over.
Hopefully.